Okay, thank you very much. It's with a certain sense of trepidation. Unfortunately, in the last little while, I've been asked to several occasions to speak about Mori Barabi, Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal. The unfortunate part, of course, is his passing, and Ptira, something that has left a tremendous hole in the heart of his Talmidim and really in the heart of our community. But I have to say that this morning's opportunity to give a shir l'zecher or l'ilui nishmaso, in one respect, is much easier. Because Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal was really, this was his life, Kihem Chayenu Ve'orech Hameinu, was really learning Torah, teaching Torah, and really conveying his hashkafa, not by hammering it over people's heads, but through the makoros of Torah itself, through the intricacy and the care with which he analyzed halachic sources and the integrity that he brought to that process, the depth, the scope, the range. And therefore, in one respect, it's more of a nechama, and it's also particularly appropriate that when we relate to such a giant, Sefer Torah Mahalech, a walking Sefer Torah, that we do so by means of shiurim, and especially the opportunities of Sosav Dovos Bekever to invoke his own Torah and his own special approach to learning into Torah. What we're going to be doing this morning is I'm going to speak more generally first about the topic of Osik Mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah as background mostly. And then I want to discuss one issue which Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal particularly enjoyed speaking about, and I think his contribution is very characteristic of his approach, of his hashkafa, and again of the interface between his learning and hashkafa, which really was one. So the topic this morning, Osek the mitzvah, Patur Min HaMitzvah, and Osek b'Torah, whether that is Patur Min HaMitzvah. If a person is already involved in an act of mitzvah, or he's learning Torah, what are his obligations vis-a-vis the rest of the corpus of Torah and mitzvahs? A kind of halachic triage, if you will. There are all sorts of forms of halachic triage that we know of. Aseh docheh lo saseh. There are all sorts of interesting issues. The one that we're speaking of this morning is where a person happens first to be involved in one good deed, one act of mitzvah. And the question is, by virtue of the fact that he has already begun a process of kiyum mitzvos, or in the other case, limud HaTorah, what impact does that have in his decision-making to try to balance and to prioritize but also to relate with integrity to the totality of the range of taryag of Torah u'mitzvos. And as I said before, in addition to the general comments that I made, this is a particularly appropriate topic to convey some assessment, appreciation of Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal, and also his particular approach. Because these kinds of issues, halachic triage issues, are the kind of issues that typically he would speak a lot about and was particularly suited to address, because they require an understanding both of the micro, meaning the totality of the system and its demands, together with the demands and the immersion that is required of independent mitzvah, and to take a complex approach and to try to address both the individual performance as well as the greater range and obligation is something that requires hekef, it requires scope and range, but also it requires nuance and subtlety. It requires understanding some of the finer distinctions that need to be made. And we'll demonstrate this as we move along in the topic. So let's talk about the topic first, and then we'll get back to other aspects of it. The Sugya Masechet Sukkah, we have it here in the Makoros in front of you. It's the first makar. The Mishnah in Masechet Sukkah speaks very specifically about Shluchei Mitzvah. This is on page 2, and it's the first item. Shluchei Mitzvah Peturim Min HaSukkah. As we know, there's an obligation on Sukkahs to sit in the Sukkah and to make it your headquarters, to the extent that that is possible. You're supposed to spend as much time, not just to eat in the sukkah, but to sleep in the sukkah, to be metayel in the sukkah. Anything you could do in the sukkah, the more maximal or optimal performance of the mitzvah. Nonetheless, the Mishnah tells us that shluchei mitzvah p'turim in a sukkah. If a person is a shliach mitzvah, he's involved in an agent for doing some other mitzvah, he's exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah. And the question, of course, is why? After all, this is a very important obligation. L'man yedu dorosechem kibesukos hashavtis b'nei Yisrael v'otzio samei eretz mitzrayim. The mitzvah of sukkah is certainly an important mitzvah. So the Gemara explains, minohani mili, how do we know that if you're involved in another mitzvah, you are exempt from sitting in the sukkah? The Tanur Rabbanan, b'shiftecha b'veisecha. In the parasha of Kriyashma, we're told, b'shiftecha b'veisecha, that you're obligated to say Kriyashma in the morning and at night, b'shiftecha b'veisecha, when you're sitting in your home, and the diuk is prat l'osek b'mitzvah. In other words, if you're on your own time, neutral time, free time, you're sitting at home, and you have the opportunity, then you have a mitzvah of Kriyashma. But if you're osek b'mitzvah, if you're already involved in some other mitzvah performance, then you are exempted. And then b'lech decha baderech, prat l'chasson, chasson is pater mikriyashma. I don't want to get into that part of the tick right now, the relationship between what we call tirdas mitzvah and osek b'mitzvah, whether they're one or two, that's also part of the topic, but not for today. But either way, we understand that there's an exemption, a person who is osek mitzvah is exempt. If you go to the third line of the Gemara elaborates on this, Amar Avuna kederech, ma derech reshus, av kol reshus, the obligation to perform mitzvos is in a neutral state, la fukei haidev mitzvah asuk. Then the Gemara says, milo askinan dekazol advar mitzvah, how do you know? Maybe the person who is being addressed in the parsha of Kriyashma is a person who is on his way to perform a good halachic deed. So the Gemara says, and nonetheless, kam rachman alikri. The Gemara says, im kein lema krab b'shevas ubaleches, mai b'shiftecha ubalechtecha, by saying your, by adding the word your to your travels and your staying at home, balecha didachu de b'chaivis, ha balecha de mitzvah p'tiras. The implication is, again, that if you're on your time, your clock, you're obligated for kriyashma and other mitzvos, and otherwise the principle is that osek b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. Now we can understand that in theory, this principle of osek mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah, could wreak havoc with a person's obligation to do mitzvos. How expansive is it? How do we define it? That's question number one. That's a practical question. Question number two, conceptually, how do we understand it? What is the idea behind osek mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah? So if you look at the second mar makom, the Bali Tosis weigh in on this issue. First they quote the view of Rashi, shluchei mitzvah, holchei bedvar mitzvah, kagon lilmod Torah, olahakbil p'nei rabo. So Rashi gives the example in sukkah, let's say a person is on his way to yeshiva, and he's on his way to learn from his Rebbe, or l'hakbil p'nei rabo b'regel, he's simply on the way to visiting his teacher. That too constitutes shluchei mitzvah. For our purposes later on, it's important to note that Rashi here seems to be saying that Talmud Torah would be included, the study of Torah would be included as an osek b'mitzvah, which would be patur min ha-mitzvos. And we'll get back, that's going to be the main point later on, after we do some of the background work. Because if that's really true, and we say Talmud Torah is keneged kulam, that a person is obligated to learn whenever he has free time, and this is a very imposing obligation, so it really might wreak havoc with our obligation to be involved with the Taryag Mitzvahs. So let's hold off on that for the moment. Either way, the diuk is, the second line here, Vafilu b'shas chaniyasan, kach pirish v'kuntras. Even if you're on your way to visit your Rebbe, or you're on your way to study Torah, you have to make a stop for various reasons, you have to sleep somewhere, etc. Even then, even though at the moment you're not involved in the performance of the mitzvah, that too would come into the rubric of osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. That's the claim of Rashi. V'chein mashum v'gemara, says Tosas, v'kama hochel edvar mitzvah, patur min ha-sukkah, b'im bayom b'im alayla, mashma, af apish ein hochen ala bayom, even if this trip takes place only bayom, di ozli b'imamo b'lelia fil dvar reshus nami p'tiri, and so on. Bali Tosas point out that this is very problematic, as we noted before, v'teimah. I'm now on the end of the fourth line of number two. Tema. Im yicholim l'kaim shneihem, amai pturim. If osek b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah, is going to apply, even in a situation where it's possible, it's conceivable, you have the capacity to do both mitzvos, how could that be? Why should you be exempt? Da'atu adam sheyesh lo tzitzis bebigdo, utfilin berosho, mimifter bekach mishar mitzvos ha-Torah. If a person is wearing tefillin or tzitzis, means he's involved in the performance of a mitzvah. So will you really say that therefore he is exempt from every other mitzvah? In other words, that would be obviously inconceivable. Okay, we'll skip a couple of lines. Elevadai, three lines from the end. Elevadai lo miftar elevashashu osekva, kagon talis shalaveda v'shodcha letzarka o behema shenosin lamizonos, etc. So the Bali Tosis conclude that the din of osek mitzvah, pater min mitzvah, in fact, is extremely limited. It only applies in a situation which we will define as efshar l'kayim shneihem. In other words, you have really a triage situation. You have a difficult decision to make. You're involved in the performance of one mitzvah. It's impossible to accomplish the other mitzvah or mitzvot at the same time. And therefore, we give priority to the one which you already are involved with. The completion of mitzvah number one takes precedence over any other initiation of another mitzvah. But any situation in which there is the capacity, the ability to accomplish more than one mitzvah at a time, there is no ptur of osek v'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. Now the truth is that the position of Bali Tosis is very reasonable. At the same time, it limits the conceptual import, one might say, of this concept. Because we all understand the notion of triage. We understand that you have to make difficult decisions sometimes when you're choosing between multiple valuable performances. So the idea of osek mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah being limited to efshar l'kayim shneihem is very reasonable, but takes a little bit of the significance away from the concept and the category. However, at the same time, ironically, the Bali Tosis seem to have been taking a very ambitious approach to the understanding of osek b'mitzvah. Not the p'tur, but the category. After all, what does Tosis quote or invoke in order to prove the limited nature of osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah? Atu, adam, shalovesh, tzitzis, right? A person who's wearing tzitzis or tefillin, he's patur mikol ha-mitzvah, shel Torah. In other words, Bali Tosis seem to be assuming that if one is fulfilling a mitzvah, he's connected in any way to the performance of a mitzvah, that constitutes a definition of osek b'mitzvah. And therefore they're able to prove that since he's an osek b'mitzvah, but he's chayav b'mitzvos, it must be that osek b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah is only b'ef shel kayim shneihem. The truth is that the Bali Tosis view is basically one which rests on two assumptions. Number one, that osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah, is only b'ef shel kayim shneihem, that the exemption created by osek b'mitzvah only applies when there's no choice. We'll call it dechuya, when you have to choose one or the other, that you're bechuyav in all tayag mitzvos, even when you're involved in the performance of any mitzvah. The only thing is, in the implementation level, obviously there has to be a mechanism to break the deadlock. And being previously involved is sufficient for that. But the second assumption is that the hagdara, the definition of osek b'mitzvah, not the p'tur, not the exemption, but the category of being osek b'mitzvah, is extremely broad. That's when I'm wearing tefillin and I'm wearing tzitzis, somehow that defines my spiritual reality such that if we were to believe that osek mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah were to apply in a situation of efshar l'kayim shneihem, even when it is possible to do both mitzvahs at the same time, it'd still be exempt. We would have said that even just by virtue of the fact that you're wearing tefillin and you are wearing tzitzis and so on. In other words, there's a gem embedded in the analysis of Tosis, and that gem is an extremely wide-ranging understanding of what it means to be immersed in the performance of a mitzvah. That is something which continues as long as you are connected to that mitzvah. You have this aura about you of being osek the mitzvah. Right. That is the view of the Bali Tosis. The Orzarua in Hilchos Sukkah, and the Ran in Masechet Sukkah, and a few other Rishonim, disagree with the Baalei Tosfos. I should add that the Baalei Tosfos view is really the majority view, but there is a significant group, both in Ashkenaz and in Sfarad, that disagree. The Ran, which is the next item on the list, number 3, says as follows. Look at the second paragraph. He starts off by quoting Rashi, and then he says, V'ikel meidak, im yicholun l'kayim ashteyem, amai pturim. He starts off by quoting the Baalei Tosfos, who say that it's inconceivable that Osek b'mitzvah is patur b'mitzvah, even when you have the ability. That's not triage, you can do both. Right. So, if you skip down in that paragraph six more lines to the second word, and therefore the Baalei Tosfos concluded that Osek mitzvah patur mitzvah only exempts in a situation where it's impossible to do both. However, says the Ran, now go to the bottom of the page, two lines up from the bottom of the page, v'lo nira lichein. The Ran says, I disagree with the Baalei Tosfos. The pashta the milsa l'mashma kein, simple reading of the Gemara is not like that. Hachanami, I'm reading the Gemara, Rav Chizdav, Rav Huna, Ikul Leberesh Galusa, Agninu Rav Nachman, Besuka, Shemuflogin, Noya, Mimenu Dalid, V'amre Anan, Shluche Mitzvah Anan. Basically, they were sitting in the Sukkah, and they were sitting in a part of the Sukkah where they weren't fulfilling the Mitzvah, and they were called out on it, and they responded, and they said, listen, we're Osek the Mitzvah, you don't even have to be here. This is where the food is being served, but we're not obligated in the Mitzvah of Sukkah right now, but they're sitting and they're eating in the Sukkah. Why aren't they obligated in that mitzvah? Says the Ran, it would appear that Osek the mitzvah, Potem and a mitzvah, isn't just about pragmatic triage, meaning the idea that you have to choose, you have more than one need, and you have to give priority, you have to break the deadlock, you have to somehow avoid paralysis. Rather, there's this remarkable halacha, which says that Osek the mitzvah, if you're in the category of an Osek, if you're already immersed in the world of spirituality, in the world of the Rabbanu Shel Olam, if you're already involved in halachic performance, then nothing else exists for you, not even other obligations. You're so immersed that you're patur min ha-mitzvah. If you go to the end of the piece, before number 4, go six lines up from the bottom. So the Ran explains, lefikach nirali, this is where he crystallizes his view, the ha-osek mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. When a person is involved in one mitzvah, he's exempt from the other. Afa pishi yachal lekayim eshteyem, against Baalei Tosfos, even if he can perform both of them. Vahidin nedarim lo mukcha midi. The vade b'shar shaveda mishumeres b'tevaso lo miftar de'osek v'mitzvah amrinan v'lo mekayim mitzvah. Now, the Ran needs to address the Baalei Tosfos objection, which is, if you're going to say that osek mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah means something much more ambitious, namely, whoever is immersed in the performance, whoever is defined as being involved in the performance of a mitzvah, doesn't have any other obligations, doesn't have any other mitzvah obligations either. So then the question is, are all sorts of gemaras that imply, right, if you're wearing tefillin and you're wearing tzitzis, or in the gemara here talks about a shomer aveda, a person who's watching someone else's object. So he's a shomer aveda, he doesn't have to go to shul, he doesn't have to say kriyashma. I mean, where does it end? So the Ran says, I disagree with assumption number 2 of the Baalei Tosfos. If you remember, what we said was, Tosfos assumed that anybody who's involved in the performance of a mitzvah is called an Osek B'mitzvah. And if that's the case, it's inconceivable that every Osek B'mitzvah, even if Efshel L'Kayim Shneim, is Patur Min HaMitzvah. So on the one hand, Tosfos had a more expansive definition of Osek B'mitzvah, but because of that more expansive definition, he had to come to a more minimalist conclusion regarding the exemption, right? The Ran takes exactly the opposite view. The Ran says, anybody who's defined as an Osek B'mitzvah doesn't have any Chiyuvim, any Chiyuvei HaTorah either. That's a remarkable idea. And it speaks to the concept of Torah immersion and the extent to which it redefines who you are, what you are. You're like in a bubble. You're in your own world when you're involved in the performance of a mitzvah. However, in order to sustain the evidence, the Ran says, however, what is an Osek B'mitzvah? An Osek B'mitzvah is not anybody who's Mekayim a mitzvah. If you're a Shomer Aveda and you have an object sitting in your barn or in your closet and you're not dealing with it at the moment, you're mekayim the mitzvah, but you're not osek the mitzvah. Similarly, if you're wearing talis or tefillin, you're mekayim that mitzvah at the moment, but you're not osek the mitzvah. Only an osek the mitzvah has this expansive p'tur min a mitzvah. But a mekayim is a mitzvah is not p'tur min a mitzvah. And it's not just the irony or something needs to give, so the Ran basically chose to expand the p'tur of osek the mitzvah, but to constrict the definition of osek the mitzvah. I would argue that these two perspectives are conceptually connected. Namely, the very reason that we can expand the concept of osek mitzvah, patur min mitzvah, and we can apply it even when efshel l'kayim shnei, we could say that a person's immersion in a mitzvah is a bubble and it basically removes him from any other, even Torah obligation, is precisely because we recognize that in addition to fulfilling a mitzvah, the actual involvement itself is something which takes over your life and needs to take over your life. The Baal Hei Tosfos had a more rigorous, the Ran had a more rigorous definition of Osek precisely because they had a more expansive and ambitious perspective of Osek B'mitzvah, Potter Min HaMitzvah. In any case, why should this be true? I mean, this is a very remarkable idea. So if you go two lines from the bottom of the piece, the Ran explains, V'hainu taima, demid potter rachmana chasan, afapi de'efshel yisuvei daiti l'kayim eshtem k'tkasivna, yalfinan, from the case of chasan we learn, kol shu osek b'malachto shel makom, anybody involved in the Rabbono Shel Olam's work, lo chiva Torah l'troch l'kayim mitzvah chemus. This is not what we call dechuya, meaning nebuch, you have to make a hard choice, you have two mitzvos, you have to do triage. Rather, one's total involvement in a mitzvah literally exempts you, it makes you not mechuyev, it's hutra, you have no other mitzvah obligation. The Ritva goes in the path of the Ran, although he adds something and he subtracts something. Unlike the Ran, the Ritva accepted the view of the Baal Hei Tosfos that osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah, is limited to cases of EFR l'kayim shnei. You only apply this exemption when it's impossible to do both mitzvos at the same time. However, it seems that according to the Ritva, this is true not because the din of osek mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah is dechuya, meaning it's a hard choice, and therefore, although you're obligated in both, you can only implement and need to know which one you can implement. Rather, he took the view of the Ran, this is my analysis, he took the view of the Ran that a person who is osek b'mitzvah, a person who is involved and immersed in the performance of a mitzvah, is somebody who is completely removed from any other reality, even halachic reality. And therefore, he's not obligated to perform another mitzvah. I will see this in a moment. However, says the Ritva, that is true, but the definition of osek b'mitzvah is something which is even more constricted than the Ran would have it. You're only considered to be osek b'mitzvah vis-a-vis another mitzvah if ef shel l'kayim shneihem. In other words, the impossibility of performing both actions is not the basis for the p'tur, for the exemption. It is the foundation of the definition of osek b'mitzvah. You're only considered osek b'mitzvah if this immersion makes it impossible for you to do other mitzvahs. Then you're defined in this way, and then you're exempt. What is it that the Ritva says that leads me to this conclusion? So look at the second line, the Tema. Havadai lo amru osek mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah ela b'shiyev shel l'kayim shneihem. It's certainly true that the din of osek mitzvah, like the Baal Hei Tosfos said, apply only when you don't have the ability to accomplish both. Ki ba'odo b'sukah o shemeniach tefillin o shemesaseh b'tzitzis o sheyesh mezuzah b'pischo ein l'patur mikol ha-mitzvos. If you have a mezuzah on your door, the Maarach HaZeruah speaks about the fact that you have a bris milah on your body, so you're patur mikol ha-mitzvos. Right? That's, of course, absurd. So, this is limited to ef shel l'kayim shneihem. If that's the case, how does it work? Mash amru shomra veda shepater milaseis pruta la'ani hainu b'shoshem minaro metapel bo v'hainu darminu pruta rabbi Yosef lo shchicha k'nefrishis beduchta kivin de lo miftah leba'oda osek mitzvah zu lamalikra. But then the Ritva says, I don't understand. If the din of osek mitzvah patra mitzvah is limited to situations where he has to choose one or the other, do we really need a pasuk to teach us this? Isn't it just logical and obvious? Lama likra? Pshita, lama yaniach mitzvah zu mipnei mitzvah acheres. Seems clear that if you're already involved in mitzvah number one, right, it would be a bizayon mitzvah to drop it for another one. You need a pasuk for that. And here's where the Ritva comes up with his kiddush. Yesh lomar hakamashmulan da filu boy laniach mitzvah zu lasos mitzvah acheres. Let's say he wants to. He has a closer feeling to mitzvah number two. It's more meaningful to him than mitzvah number one. And by the way, that's not an unacceptable spiritual posture. The Rambam, in a famous comment in the Mishnah at the end of the Masechet Makos, Ratzah Kodesh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael Lefikach Hirbam Torah Mitzvos, explains that, you know, part of the benefit of having many mitzvos is that people can pick and choose the ones that they want to excel in. You have to do them all, which is part of the topic of Osik Mitzvah. But you can have your niche. You're a tzedakah person, you're a tefillah person. Not to the exclusion of the others, but so let's say he wants to drop mitzvah number one for the more meaningful mitzvah number two. Or maybe mitzvah number two is objectively a more chamor, wide-ranging mitzvah. Ishlomar kamashma lefila boila niach mitzvah zu la'asa sacheres gedola heimeno ein rishus biyada. So kadai techamino efturei demiftar avli boila mishva kulumevad ida charishus biyada. You might have thought it's up to him. He can continue with the one he started, or he can choose to switch. Kamash Mulan, and this is where the Ritva comes up with his big chiddush. Kiven de potter min hacheres harehi etzlo achshav kedavar shol rishus v'asal lehaniach mitzvaso b'pnei davar shol rishus. Ritva says, you don't have that luxury because definitionally, mitzvah number two turned into a mitzvah rishus by virtue of your immersion, prior immersion in mitzvah number one. In other words, instead of saying you have two obligations, but you have a triage problem, you have to choose. And you might say, which is what the Bali Tosas say, the first one takes priority. The Ritva goes further, and like the Ran, suggests that your immersion in any mitzvah redefines your obligation vis-a-vis other mitzvahs. But in this particular manner, what the Ritva is arguing is that what is normally a mitzvah skova is transformed into a cheftza shel mitzvah rishus by virtue of your previous involvement, and as such you can't drop a mitzvah skova for a mitzvah rishus. But this redefinition, of course, is a huge chiddush, and one again testament to the extraordinary hold or redefinition that takes place in the performance of any particular mitzvah. Okay. Adkan, this is the background and my analysis of two broad approaches. There's obviously many more details of the mitzvah of Osek, the mitzvah of Patur Min HaMitzvah. The Rishonim, however, were bothered about the application of this concept to Talmud Torah. After all, Rashi, as we noted, says explicitly that a holech lehakbil pnei rabo beregel or lilmod Torah constitutes a case of Osek b'mitzvah, seemingly Patur Min HaMitzvah. And the question is, if that is the case, and the obligation to study Torah is constant, then how do you ever have the performance of other mitzvahs? And if this is particularly a very important question, if you hold like the Ran and the Or Zeruah and the Ritva, who seem to be arguing that the issue isn't only Efshel L'Kayim Shneim, it's not only a triage issue, but it's a redefinition of your very obligation. How do we understand this question? That's problem number one. Problem number two, which is a bigger problem in some respects, is that the evidence seems to be that Talmud Torah per se does not exempt you from the performance of other mitzvahs. But, here I'd like to quote Mori Virabi, Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal, the evidence on this issue, particularly in the Rambam, seems to be very mixed and very dialectical. And the question is how to navigate between the contradictory sources and how to solve this particular issue and problem. So let's look at this very quickly. On the one hand, we have the Rashi that we spoke of, which implies very strongly that Talmud Torah would be a factor in this equation. On the other hand, Mar says in Masechet Moed Katan and Daf Tes, Yikarehi Nipninim, the Kol Chapatzecha LaYishvuva, speaking about the Torah, it's the most precious thing. Nothing can compare to it. Nothing holds a candle to it. However, the Gemara says, that when it comes to a clash or a conflict between Torah study and the performance of mitzvos, the rule is, if it's a mitzvah, she'efshar al-yidei acherim, then you're patur. But it's davar she'efshar lasas al-yidei acherim, if there's no one else to fulfill this particular mitzvah, then Talmud Torah is not a basis to exempt you from this. The question is, what happened to the rule of osek b'mitzvah, patur b'mitzvah? And as Rav Lichem Sin Zatzal pointed out, other achronim say this as well, we don't find that the consideration, the factor of efshar lasos ayidei acherim or efshar lasos ayidei acherim plays a role in general sugya of osek mitzvah patur mitzvah. Meaning it's a very reasonable factor and consideration, right? Because on the one hand, this second performance is going to be completely neglected if you don't be the, if you're not the one to assume the obligation. As opposed to the first, let's say, which is doable later, or al-yidei acher. It's a very logical distinction, but it's one which the Gemara develops only with respect to the relationship between Talmud Torah and other mitzvos. And the question is why? The Ramban in Masechet Kiddushin says explicitly that the factor of efshar lasos al-yidei acherim, efshar lasos al-yidei acherim, is not a consideration typically in the world of osek b'mitzvah, patur b'mitzvah. And the question, of course, is why? Moreover, as we noted before, there seems to be a very important contradiction in the Rambam's perspective on this topic. So if you look here on page 4, okay, just look very quickly at some of the Rambam's. Number 7, page 4, number 7. The Rambam in Hilchos Perek Tes Vav Halacha Beis speaks about the obligation of Piri Verivia to raise a family. Ha'ish mitzuva Piri Verivia, v'lo ha'isha. Me'emesai ha'ish n'schai v'mitzvah zumi ben shva asrei, when you're 17. Kimin sh'avru esrim shana v'lo nasa isha reza over mevato mitzvah sasei. All right, we won't discuss this part right now. This is for another topic. 20 years old, he's already ki'ilu actively turning his back on this mitzvah, says the Rambam. But here comes the part that's important. But if he's involved in the study of Torah, the torudba, and he's preoccupied with it, why does Rambam add the torudba? I have to get back to that. He thinks that all but Savaro, that if he's, you know, has the obligations of providing for a family, that that will neutralize, that will negate his ability to grow as a Talmud Chacham. He's allowed to delay the mitzvah of Piri Verivia. And here the Rambam quotes, Sha'osek b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah, this principle, the kol shekein b'talmud Torah. And certainly this is true when it comes to Talmud Torah. However, problem is, the Gemara in Shabbos, and more particularly Yerushalmi, but the Brachos and Shabbos, seems to say that this is not true. That while we do apply the mitzvah, the din of osek mitzvah, patar mitzvah, for example, to exempt people from kriyashma, right, when it comes to Talmud Torah, typically we do not. So for example, if you look at the Rambam codifies these as well. If you look at number 8, haya osek b'talmud Torah, says the Rambam, if a person's involved in learning, v'hiyazman kriyashma, and now it's kriyashma time, posek v'korei, stops his learning, and he says kriyashma. On the other hand, if he was Osek B'Tzorchei Rabim, which is part of the expanded canon of Osek Mitzvah Patur and a Mitzvah, by the way, Lo Yipsok, Ele Yigmar Iskeyen, B'Yikra, Im Nishar Eis Likras. He doesn't stop, and if he has to lose that Mitzvah of Kriyashma, as important as the Kabbalah Sabachos Shemayim. Osek Mitzvah, we know from Chassan that Osek Mitzvah Patur and a Mitzvah even exempts from Kriyashma. Again, Hilchos Tefillah, although here it's a little bit more nuanced, the Rambam explains, Mishay Osek B'Talmud Torah, this is number 9, Vigiyaz Man HaTefillah, Posek Umisbal. He stops from his learning, and he davens. Here the Rambam has a qualification, Im Hoysa Torasa Umnaso, Ve'ena Osa Melacha Klal, Vaya Osek B'Torah B'Shas Tefillaso, if he's consistent, this is what he does, his immersion in Talmud Torah, his commitment to it is total, then that might be an exception. Ein a posek shemitzas Talmud Torah gedola li mitzas tefila v'chala osek b'tzarchei rabim ka osek b'divrei Torah. fascinating. Here he says, Osek b'tzarchei rabim is ka'osek b'divrei Torah, but in the previous halacha, meaning in Hilchos Kriyat Shema, he said that Osek b'divrei Torah, right, neutralizes the obligation of Kriyat Shema. Osek b'tzarchei rabim neutralizes the obligation of Kriyat Shema, while Osek b'divrei Torah is not. So we have a lot of mixed signals in the Rambam. And the Rambam paskins the Gemara in Moed Katan, number 10. Talmud is the apex of mitzvos. Talmud may be l'dei masa. Interesting, we'll get back to that. Right? The learning is a linchpin for performance. L'fikach ha-talmud kodim l'maisa b'chol mako. Okay. Then halacha dalet, hayel ufanav asiyas mitzvos u'talmud Torah. If you have to choose between the performance of mitzvahs and Torah study, it depends on the consideration of Gemara in Moed Katan, similar to Gemara in Chagiga, and that is whether it's a mitzvah, can other people pick up the slack? If the mitzvah is actually going to be neglected, then there is no excuse. The evidence here about Talmud Torah, both in the Talmud and especially in the Rambam, seems to be contradictory, or at minimum, perplexing. And the question is why? The Meiri, the next piece, number 11, in Moed Katan, Daf Tesamid Beis, weighs in on this issue. Meiri asks this question. Afa pi sh'amra osuk mitzvah patar min ha-mitzvah, ein Talmud Torah b'chlal zeh. Meiri stakes out a position. Talmud Torah does not qualify for osek the mitzvah, which is pater min mitzvah. Then he goes, elamisha yosek b'torah, the ira mitzvah liyado, mefshar la'osa mitzvah yidei acherim, ein lo levata l'alel. This is the Meiri on Moitza on that Gemara. It says, after all, if the mitzvah is going to be neglected, then you're obligated to ensure that it is performed. The al tishiveni bitl Torah, lo tzah sameis, laknas es kalai, but there are certain Gemaras that seem to say that for bitl Torah, you actually give up on certain mitzvos, it's a problem. What's going on? So the Meiri, 2, 3, 6 lines down from the beginning, explains why this is. Eino mafkia, a person involved in Torah, eino mafkia chiyuvim, chiyuva me'alav, b'kiyum mitzvah talmud Torah, afila mitzvah kala. Even if all he's contending with is a mitzvah kala, a relatively lighter mitzvah, his involvement in Talmud Torah does not exempt him. The afa pi sha'osek mitzvah pater min ha-mitzvah, even though osek mitzvah is pater min ha-mitzvah, lo ne'amar chein b'talmud Torah. This doesn't apply to Torah study. Ho'il v'ikara li'idiyas kiyum shara mitzvahs. Because Torah itself, right, is intended to illuminate and to be the linchpin of the performance of other mitzvahs. And therefore, mevat l'nosa b'shvil kol mitzvah she'ef shalakai me'dachim. This is quoting in the name of the Rav. So, many years ago, before I was familiar with Rav Lichtenstein, wrote a piece of this, an article of this, in a sefer called Kovod HaRav, which was L'Zecher Nishmas, the Rav Zatzal. But I had read this Meiri quite a bit earlier, and I got very excited when I saw this Meiri. Subsequently, I'll explain in a moment, part of the presentation a little bit. I thought this Meiri really opened up a window, right, which could explain also the Shitas HaRambam and some of the other mixed evidence as well. Then some years later, when this article came out, I saw that Mori Barabi of Lichtenstein Zatzal took a similar approach. But interestingly enough, he quotes us the Meiri, and he understood the Meiri very differently than I did. The way he understood the Meiri was that the Meiri basically thinks that Talmud Torah is an auxiliary obligation. It's a handmaiden, if you will, to the performance of mitzvos. It's a hechsher for asiyas ha-mitzvos. Lichtenstein even contrasted the Meiri's view with the famous view of Reb Chaim Livolozhin, which is generally accepted in Nefesh HaChaim. The idea that, as you know, Reb Chaim Livolozhin's book is called Torah Lishma. His concept is called Torah Lishma. And what he develops is the idea that Torah is not l'shem dveikus, and Torah is not l'shem hechsher nasiyas ha-mitzvos. Torah is l'shma, l'shem yediyas ha-Torah. Torah study doesn't require any other justification. It is a goal and an end, a telos unto itself. That's why this Meiri seems a little bit limiting. If you take the view that the purpose of Torah study is a hechsher for the performance of mitzvos, so then you understand why osik mitzvah, patur min mitzvah, doesn't apply to Talmud Torah. But this position, right, seems to, in a way, go against a very strong tradition about why it is that Talmud Torah is as central as it is. And considering the fact that the Rambam projects the centrality of Talmud Torah keneged kulam, even in his remarks where he limits Talmud Torah's capacity for osik mitzvah, patur min mitzvah, it doesn't seem that the Meiri's perspective is going to explain the Rambam. So instead, Lichtenstein suggested that really what the Rambam has in mind, and I don't know if he made the diyukim about tirda that I mentioned before, but I have to check again, not sure, but either way, it fits in very well. What he suggested is as follows. Talmud Torah is keneged kulam, and Talmud Torah certainly is an end in its own right. But Talmud Torah also provides the perspective, right, for our total relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it really is the linchpin for the way that we manage our spiritual lives, including the appreciation of, the performance of, and the integration of Taryag Mitzvos. The idea that Talmud Torah would distract you and would come at the expense of the performance of mitzvos itself is a contradiction from within. In other words, a Talmud Torah which doesn't recognize that when an ani knocks on the door, you have to give him tzedakah, a Talmud Torah which in circumstances of Iyasha Lekayim Ayidei Acherim is one which would have you sacrifice the performance of basic categories of mitzvos, a Talmud Torah keneged kulam and all the hasmada and immersion and commitment that that implies, which leaves you only with Talmud Torah, is a flawed and a deficient Talmud Torah. The Chetza Shel Torah of that Talmud Torah and the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah of that Limud HaTorah is one which by definition can never qualify for Osek B'mitzvah, Patur Min HaMitzvah. Because the Asek of mitzvah number one is inherently undermined by virtue of the fact that you're ignoring mitzvah number two. Or if I could say it a little bit differently, to be honest, this is how I understood the Meiri. The din of osik mitzvah, patur min mitzvah, this is a little bit my expansion, really refers to a clash between two different mitzvahs. In other words, you have A and you have B. And for the purposes of making this decision, they are two different mechayim. And there are rules, there are triage rules, just as there are other triage rules in halacha. Sometimes we look at the severity of the performance, sometimes we look whether or not it's efshel lekayim ayidei acherim, and so on and so forth. In the case of osik mitzvah, patur min mitzvah, when you have a clash between two independent forces, two different mitzvahs, so the priority of A, in terms of time, makes it the one that takes precedence over B. However, whenever the conflict takes place not externally between two different forces, but internally, as a way of measuring or gauging or properly strategically fulfilling one of these performances, then the dynamic changes and then the formula changes as well. The idea here is that Talmud Torah keneged kulam, which is a chumrah and establishes Talmud Torah as the highest of our values, that is also what makes it more sensitive and more vulnerable, right, to the capacity to apply it to other mitzvos as well. In other words, a lilmod, which is shaloh amanas lasos, is a flawed lilmod from a lilmod standpoint. In my opinion, and it could be I'm just a good Talmud who therefore is sensitive to this very idea and read it into the Ravid of the Meiri, the Meiri is not so much telling us that Torah is a hechsher for mitzvos, as much as he is telling us that even though Torah and mitzvos are two different things, part of the demand and the centrality of Talmud Torah is its capacity to provide perspective on and to be the linchpin for all other mitzvahs. And therefore, as an internal way of defining whether this quality or Chafetz Shel Torah or Maisa Mitzvahs Talmud Torah should in fact be Docha other mitzvahs, the factor of Almanas Lo Lasos is Pogem the Torah. Rav Lichtenstein suggested this idea not for the Meiri, as I did, but for the Marach Or Zarua. Marach Or Zarua has a very remarkable suggestion. If you look here at number 5, Umash hiksha mi melamde medrash halachos ve'agados tahasam yipatim ilmeisav riftelania b'shas limudo. Why did you say that people who are either teaching or learning, when the Ani knocks on their door, they're patur mitzadaka, and basically from all other mitzvos as well. So instead of dismissing this idea out of hand, the Marach Or Zarua, looks at 3 lines from the bottom of this same section, basically says, well, in theory this is true, however, he's not quite certain whether the Talmidim of contemporary world, his contemporary world was 1,000 years ago, the Na al Takel Talmidim, ki makom yagid lahem, virubam tarasam shalo lishma, gam einam umnasam, gam oskim bi'iyun velo begemara. Not sure what that bi'iyun velo begemara is all about. But anyways, the Marach Or Zarua basically suggests that the quality or the commitment to learning of these Talmidim, right, is flawed enough that we wouldn't apply this principle. But what he seems to be suggesting, and this is Rav Lichtenstein's diyuk, is that in principle, lu yitzuya, you could have a pure Talmud Torah, one whose consistency and level of commitment and intensity is one in which we would see the conflict between the performance of mitzvos and Torah not as a flaw in Torah's chesed, or the expansiveness of Torah, but on the contrary, as something which reflects Torasa umnaso, or as the Rambam uses the expression, tir de batorah, then inachanami, in theory, osik mitzvah would be patur min mitzvah. And indeed, the Or Zarua himself, in another tshuva, if you look at number 6, says, ukafize bachurim ahochim lilmo Torah, pturim mikol mitzvos kozman shein bebeis rabba. I should mention that we don't pask in this way, certainly, but it's just a remarkable view of one of the Chachmei Ashkenaz, namely, that a time when Talmidim are visiting their Rebbe, or they're in an intense mode of studying in yeshiva, in Achanani, the rule of Osik Mitzvah, Patur Min HaMitzvah, would apply. Kirav Chizda v'Rabba Bar Avuna, Shei Pturim Kozman Shalosha. As long as they didn't hear the drasha, and they were on the way, and they were even sitting in the sukkah, their preoccupation with preparing for it and focusing on it was so total that really Osik Mitzvah, Patur Min HaMitzvah. U'mekol mokom, imritzu levarech, ala tzitzis ala tzvilin yecholin, also fascinating, midahaba anashim, meaning not anashim, but Noshim, women, shepasak rabinatam, shenoshim mecholus levarech, al komitzasei shazmagra. Rabbanzin suggested that this view of the Marach Or Zarua, which is very remarkable, maybe the suggestion that maybe different levels of intense involvement in Talmud Torah might leave you with different status vis-a-vis the problem of osik mitzvah, patur min mitzvah, needs to be understood. What does it mean? But in light of this perspective, which is, in theory, like the Rambam says, kol shekein, if Talmud Torah is the greatest of mitzvos, then if there's a rule of osik mitzvah, patur min mitzvah, then there's certainly a rule of osik b'Talmud Torah, patur min mitzvah. The problem is that Talmud Torah is also a victim of its great ambition and its great scope. Namely, it's the linchpin of Kol HaTorah Kula. And you always have to wonder, when you make this sacrifice, whether you haven't undermined the Osek B'mitzvah Rishona part, because a Talmud Torah which is Shalom Amanas Lasos, a selfish Talmud Torah, a narrow Talmud Torah, is not the Talmud Torah which is Patur Min HaMitzvos. But if that's the case, then there can be certain situations, certain opportunities, where Talmud is Bifnei Rabbo, where Torasso is Umnaso, in the case of Piri of Arivia, where it's only a delay, and not a Bitul Gomor, under these conditions, maybe there is Chetzah Shel Torah and a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which would justify Osek V'mitzvah, Patur Min HaMitzvah. Let me conclude. Yeah, I'll take one question quickly, but yeah. Well, in my opinion, that's ein lecha osek b'tzorchei tzibur gadol mizeh. That is certain osek mitzvah patur min a mitzvah. If a person's involvement in community life is considered osek mitzvah patur min a mitzvah, which it is, certainly it's that and much more, obviously, because national duty and national service is a critical requirement for Klal Yisrael. Certainly for the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, for world Jewry. So I think ein lecha osek mitzvah patur min a mitzvah. We still say, again, I would apply the same principle. What makes it osek b'tzorchei tzibor and what makes it patur min a mitzvah is precisely the perspective that, the continuity of Klal Yisrael and all that it stands for is crucial and critical. And therefore the ability to also perform mitzvos, which is why we have a Rabbanut Tzvait, and we have people who are Shivot Hasder, who are constantly working to upgrade and to maximize so we don't need to make these kind of concessions and compromises. In a way, it's very parallel to the Talmud Torah idea, in that sense. Okay, let me just go back to what we began with. I think this is really a perfect topic which to exemplify the Torah of Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal. Number one, a complicated and complex issue that requires an understanding of a range of sources, control of those sources, an intuition about how they relate to each other, much knowledge and much wisdom, how to apply the knowledge. The topic itself, as I said, is one in which there's an interface between halacha and hashgafa, although if we understand it in depth, almost all halachic topics have that interface. The concept of triage and how you weigh macro and micro concerns, the integrity of the performance in front of you, the immersion in it, the ability for that immersion to create a kind of a different reality for the person, whether it's the hagdara of osek mitzvah for the Balei Tosfos, or the ptur of osek mitzvah patur na mitzvah for the Ran and for the Or Zeruah and for the Maarech Or Zeruah, is really something which I say very much needs to be understood in light of the fact that there are tayag mitzvos, which are keneged shasa gidim, the ramach evarim of a person, the holistic body, which obviously only works effectively when all of its components are brought into the picture. How do we balance the integrity of the individual performance and the other meaning of integrity, wholeness and integration with the whole system? And the various perspectives of the Rishonim here are truly inspirational, whether it's the Hagdara Osek Mitzvah versus Mekayinus HaMitzvah, or the different perspectives on turning a Mitzvah Skova into Mitzvah Rishus. But certainly, in particular, this topic reflects very, very accurately on the thinking, the unique thinking, of Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal. Not only a brisker analysis, the difference between a Chetzah Shel Torah and a Mitzvah Talmud Torah, which is true to itself, and one where kind of the bottom falls out because in application it's established or revealed to be missing its primary components, but an understanding also of the nuances and complexities that go into the making of triage-type decisions. The idea that a Talmud Bifnei Rabbo is a different circumstance than simply somebody who's learning, that there's all sorts of relationships between Talmud Torah and the world of mitzvahs. And in his life, Rav Lichtenstein was somebody who embodied Talmud Torah keneged kulam. His personal hasmada was legendary, and his commitment to his talmidim and giving shiurim was equally legendary. The kind of amal and igiya that he put into his learning, into the finding of specialty Rishonim like the Maarech Or Zeruah, which is not part of the typical halachic conversation. All of these reflect that notion of Talmud Torah keneged kulam. But at the same time, this bigger picture that flowed very consistently from it spoke a lot about Torah's chesed and the idea that a person's Torah is supposed to sensitize him to the entire range of what the Torah demands from him, including, of course, Ben Adam L'Chavero, and the sense of empathy. But the idea of a Torah which is so narrowly conceived that it would negate the amanas lasos is something which he was particularly sensitive to, therefore able to bring out very much in this particular topic. And then finally, the idea of Rebbe and Talmud that is so much part of this topic. The idea that haholech v'hakbil pnei rabo, or lilmo Torah, that even the derech, even the hechsher, is part of the mitzvah on the one hand, and possibly, according to Morako Zeruah, Toroso, Naso, and Tirdas Torah, puts somebody on a completely different level. But the idea that Talmud Torah is a lifelong pursuit, and even as it requires its sacrifices and focus, at the same time, have to find a way to bring the Ora Torah and the message of Torah and that level of immersion and commitment to the rest of what we do, to upgrade and to uplift all of it, both of these things at the same time, is a special ambition. To do them both without compromise requires a special level of commitment. So in this sense, the theme of Osek B'mitzvah, Potter Min HaMitzvah, and the Talmud Torah component as well, let me just say a final word, is so much rooted, I think, in the terminology of Osek. In Birchas HaTorah, the first bracha that we make, at least Ashkenazim, is Lasok B'divrei Torah. And Esek, as the Rishonim in this topic demonstrate, is not just Mekayim, and it's not just Lomade. It precisely encapsulates or crystallizes in one word this dialectic that we've been speaking of. It implies immersion that, on the one hand, is an intense commitment to what you're doing and an absolute focus on it, but at the same time, Esek HaTorah also has this wider meaning of applying the values and the learning to the other asakim of one's life. Now, the Tshuvas HaRosh has a famous comment where, responding to a question that the Rishonim dealt with, you know, why it is that we don't make a separate Birchas HaTorah every time there's a hefsek. You go to work, you go to sleep, you go to lunch. So when you come back, you should make a separate Birchas HaTorah because there's a hefsek, like we make a separate bracha when we interrupt any other performance of a mitzvah. And indeed, there is such a view in the Rishonim. The brother of the Shibalei Alaket held that way, but that's not the standard view, and the question is why, and there are different answers that are given. But the Rush has a very wonderful answer, where he says, there is no hefsek. A person who's truly involved in Torah and Torah learning, so in the back of his mind, you know, it's always going on. And I don't think that what he meant was that in the back of his mind, he's actually always specifically thinking about Havayas Tavayva Rava. Maybe. I think what he really meant was, or maybe I'm taking license, so I'll take the license and expand it. What he meant was that if a person's Talmud Torah is really Keneged Kulam, and his passion for it is because he sees in it Dvar Hashem, and part of that Dvar Hashem is about how to relate those values to real life and to the concreteness of life, then no matter what he's doing, whether it's eating lunch or conducting his business affairs, but if he's driven by these values and by the same passion and intensity that forces this commitment, then there's no hafsek. He's an osek b'divrei Torah. And I think, for Talmidim Rav Lichtenstein, I think we had a special zchus that this paradigm of an osek b'Torah is something that was very concrete to us as well. Thank you very much.